This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning. I'm David First. How do you sum up a week that started with the nominee of the Republican Party implying that gun owners should resort to violence if Hillary Clinton is elected, and a few days later had him declaring President Obama the founder of ISIS?
He's the founder of ISIS, okay? He's the founder.
And where do you go from here? For many, the answer is the voting booth. And judging by some of the most recent polls, voters are becoming more energized in their opposition to Donald Trump and in their support of Hillary Clinton. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein has been speaking with 18-year-old first-time voters and 60-somethings planning for retirement throughout this election season. And Andrea joins us for another edition of This Week in Politics. Welcome back.
Hey, David.
Andrea, you've been speaking with these voters in New York this year. Remind us what you've been hearing up to now.
So you would think that New Yorkers would know everything that they want or could know about both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was the senator here for two terms. Donald Trump, of course, has been a celebrity figure for decades. But really interestingly, even given the fact that these are two very present characters in the soap operas of New Yorkers' lives, the conventions and their aftermath have really sharpened and hardened the views, the voters' views of both the candidates. And you can really see that in the polls that are coming out.
Well, following the Republican convention, Donald Trump got this bump up in the polls. And after the Democratic convention, Hillary Clinton got an even larger boost. There has been a whirlwind of unflattering and damaging stories in the past couple of weeks. So there's a lot for voters to respond to. Are you seeing much change in terms of what voters are telling you?
Well, when I first spoke with a group of voters on Long Island 4 months ago, these were women facing or about to retire. The feeling was Hillary, meh, Trump, maybe not so bad. But now the spectrum has really shifted from Trump scares the bejesus out of me to Clinton, yes. Retiree Gloria Willens was typical.
She won me over. I mean, I always liked her and I always supported her. But when Bill at the convention went through her history and you saw as a young woman graduate mm-hmm. that she immediately went to serve the underdog. I forgot her first job was the children. Mm-hmm. Everything she did in her career was to help children and public service and to me with a good heart.
So you're probably used to hearing people tell you how much everyone hates their choices. At this book group, organized by the Transition Network for Women on the Cusp of Retirement, June Anderman Hahn was having none of it.
Can you imagine anyone asking Trump, why do people not like you? I feel like standing up and saying she is the best candidate. She was Secretary of State, for crying out loud. Why? I mean, how do people diminish her the way they do?
If by now you're saying, yeah, I'm not surprised, you should be, because Democrats actually tend to lose the white vote. But this year, among white voters with college degrees, Hillary Clinton is polling about 20 points better than President Obama did 4 years ago. And among women, there's an even bigger divide. It's really hard to find a woman in this demographic group who supports Trump.
I don't curse in public. I do privately.
So Lois Thompson really does not like Clinton. And she says she is just not going to vote.
I think he has embarrassed himself beyond belief. And I think she has embarrassed herself beyond belief. What choices now do we have?
In this room of women with college degrees, most of them professional, it's either Hillary or no one. Ellen Weissman told me she thought Clinton could have been brought up on charges for her handling of her emails.
Do you feel like you don't trust Hillary Clinton, that she's untrustworthy?
Listening to the media, reading, yes, but there's a but. She does have a lot of experience under her belt. And she does know how to handle herself, and her temperament is better than Trump's. And that's the really important thing. But I don't like Democratic policies.
So that actually startled me when she said that. A vote against Clinton for policy reasons.
Andrea, why did that startle you? Is that because this election hasn't been about policy, because it's been about who is fit to be president?
You know, it reminded me of some elections that I've covered in the long distance past, where people were talking about different approaches to climate change or different approaches to health care. It wasn't the I hate them, I don't like them, and the sort of relentless cycle of attacks that are magnified by social media and by the 24-hour news cycle, to actually say, well, it's not that I hate Hillary Clinton, it's just I don't agree with her, is something that I feel like was, you know, from an election from maybe the last century, or maybe just even the last decade.
But I think what's weird there is that I disagree with her, but I'm not voting for anybody.
Right. Well, because she doesn't like Trump. And I think that was the bottom line, is that in this room, there were women who 4 years ago were voting for Mitt Romney, or who 8 years ago were voting for John McCain. And this time around, they are, I'm not voting. And that's why you're seeing the kind of gap in the polls that we're seeing now.
Andrea, going back to the comments from voters who have stronger feelings now on who they're going to pick. Is this the normal course of events? Is this what happens during every presidential election? As you get close to September, voters get a little clearer about what they intend to do, who they intend to vote for?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And one of my favorite jokes was on one of the television comedy shows in one of the previous elections, I think it was 17 months before an election, and it said, the polls show if the election were held today, it would be 17 months too early. And I think that says it all. Voters' positions change. Voters pay attention to things like conventions. They pay attention to things like advertisements and debates. And most of all, when they have to actually face the reality of going into a polling booth, things change. People make decisions very close to the vote. So you actually, by taking a poll now, it would tell you, yeah, what would happen today, but it's not actually predictive. And this is, I think, one of the biggest mistakes people make when analyzing elections, that they think, okay, this is telling you what's going to happen. No, it's just telling you where people are now, and it's almost guaranteed that they're going to change.
Andrea, we just have a little time left, but changing the subject, some big news this week on Chris Christie. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a former aide, says that he flat out lied about his staff's knowledge of Bridgegate. Christie says this is nothing new, but how damaging is this?
Well, potentially very damaging, depending on what comes out at trial. These were not the top officials around Chris Christie. The officials who were sending these text messages were three levels down from Chris Christie. And what this suggests is that the knowledge of Bridgegate was pervasive. And if the knowledge of Bridgegate was pervasive, why is it in all of these investigations, everybody said they didn't know anything? That is the question that will be answered at trial.
And you're talking about the trial of Bill Baroni, former executive director of the Port Authority, and former Christie staffer Bridget Ann Kelly, both accused of plotting to close lanes leading to the George Washington Bridge.
That trial starts 6 weeks before the general election, so it's going to be a fun fall for the WNYC news team.
Thanks, Andrea. Andrea Bernstein is WNYC's senior editor for politics and policy.
Thank you. Stay cool.